Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Ezekiel 37-39. Dry bones in the defeat of Gog. Ezekiel is set down in a valley full of bones, very many and very dry. The text emphasizes twice, as if to rule out any possibility that these could still be considered merely wounded or sleeping. 37:1-2. God asks him a question that, on the surface, has only one honest answer. Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel's response is a model of faithful humility. Sovereign Lord, you alone know. 37:3. He does not pretend the situation looks hopeful. He simply refuses to place a limit on God that God himself has not placed. What follows is one of the most vivid pictures of resurrection power anywhere in Scripture. At Ezekiel's prophesied word, the bones rattle and come together, tendons and flesh and skin cover them, and finally breath enters them and they stand. A vast army. 37:10. The vision's own interpretation is given directly, without room for allegorical wandering. These bones are the people of Israel. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. 37:11-12. This is, first and most plainly, a promise about the literal restoration of a literal people to a literal land. Not a general metaphor for personal renewal to be applied, however a reader wishes, however naturally it may also illustrate God's power to bring spiritual life out of spiritual deadness. Chapters 38-39 then describe a great coalition, Gog of the land of Magog, leading a vast confederation of nations, that comes against a restored, resettled Israel, only to be utterly destroyed by God himself, not primarily by Israel's own strength. 38:18-23, 39:1-6. Whatever the precise historical or future referent of this invasion, its function in the book is clear. The restoration God has promised will not be undone by any hostile coalition, however vast. The refrain that closes this section brings us back to the theme that has anchored the whole book. I will make my holy name known among my people Israel. I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. 39:7. There is a temptation to treat the dry bones vision as though its main value lies in whatever inspirational application we can extract from it for our own circumstances. That temptation is not without some warrant. The same God who raises dead bones is, after all, the God who raises dead hearts and dead hopes. But it is worth remembering, before applying it too loosely, what the vision was actually given to promise, that a specific, exiled, apparently finished people would live again. If God kept that promise as literally and completely as history shows he did, then whatever application we draw from it for our own lives rests on solid ground, not wishful borrowing. Discussion questions 1. Ezekiel refuses to answer his own question, can these bones live, and instead defers entirely to God. You alone know. 37:3. Where in your own life do circumstances look this dead, and what would it look like to hold that same posture of humble hope? 2. The vision's primary meaning is Israel's literal national restoration, not a generic metaphor for personal renewal. Why does it matter to first understand a text's original meaning before drawing a personal application from it? 3. Gog's coalition is destroyed by God's own hand, not primarily by Israel's strength. 38:18-23. Where are you tempted to fight a battle in your own strength that God intends to win himself? 4. What is the most dead situation in your life right now that you need to entrust to the God who raises dry bones? Thank you for spending this time in Ezekiel 37:39. Until next time, keep treasuring the Word.